Psalm 100, if you'll stand for the reading of the Bible tonight, the 100th Psalm. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the emphasis this particular month. And Lord, we do want to be the difference through both prayer and patriotism. And Lord, as we look into the Bible and seek out what it says that will help us to not only be good citizens, but to be good Christians. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to have an understanding, Lord, of the price that has been paid so that we enjoy the freedoms we do. And Lord, I do pray, dear God, also that we'd be aware of the price that Jesus paid, Lord, so that we could have an opportunity to live the Christian life. May we do so in a way that brings him honor and glory. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good. And you may be seated. Tonight, I'm going to teach a little Bible study that I think will help you. And I'm going to, again, kind of stay with our emphasis this month on patriotism. By the way, Brother Dennis, it's good to see you in church. I just spotted you. We have been praying for you. That's a victory, folks, right there. Amen. And so looked up and saw a blessing. Amen. Five marks of a good Christian. And as I looked at these things and reviewed them this morning, I was reminded of the quote that Daniel Webster is somewhat famous for saying. He says, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. Whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. And even though I'm going to teach on five marks of a good American, I think that I could change the title and say five marks of a good Christian, and it would be just as applicable. And so we're going to look at some things because we ought to be challenged on a regular basis to be not only just good Christians, but folks, good citizens. And we have a responsibility. And I think that there is a lot of Americans that are not good citizens. And it's a growing number. And well, preacher, what's the difference between a good citizen and a bad citizen, a good American, a bad American, a good Christian, or a bad Christian? Well, I think we're going to look at just five things tonight, and hopefully this will help us. Number one, a good American focuses on his responsibilities, not his perceived rights. Amen. Oh, this is so important. I beat this drum pretty often, but I'm going to beat it again tonight a little bit, okay? A good American focuses on his responsibilities and not his perceived rights. I talk about the change that I saw within my lifetime. Let me read this little thing I've written here. A drastic shift occurred in America's dialogue halfway through the last century. For much of the first 200 years of our nation's history, the buzz phase touted by politicians, principals, and parents was civic responsibility or civic duty. As a result, generations of American citizens grew up understanding that each had a moral obligation to identify and fulfill their personal and public responsibilities by stepping up and paying forward all that others had invested before them. Then suddenly, folks, in the 1960s, the buzz phrase changed. No one was talking about civic responsibilities. Instead, everyone was talking about civil rights. As a result, our nation changed. People stopped considering what they owed our nation, but instead became focused on what they perceived they were owed. Rights replaced responsibility, and a nation of victors became a nation of victims. And folks, there has been a shift, and was a shift that began in the 1960s, but it wasn't just one group of people. As soon as one group of people saw it work for them, next thing you know, selfishness kicked in. Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? Because men shall become lovers of their And all of a sudden, that's what was most important, what I want, what I perceive that I'm owed, what somebody ought to be doing for me. And folks, listen to me. The first and great commandment out of the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ was to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then, of course, he said the second one was to love your neighbor as yourself. And yet in the last days, perilous times comes. Why? Because we throw away the first commandment, we throw away the second commandment, and we elevate our love for ourselves above our love for God, our love for self above our love for others. And unfortunately, that poison that began in the 1960s and then next thing you know in the 70s, you know, it was another group that jumped up and said, we want our rights. Then another group that jumped up and said, well, we want our rights. And everybody's clamoring. I believe this. You could almost turn the news on any night this week and you'll see somebody protesting or rioting or worse because they don't think they are getting what comes to them. Right. Now, folks, if you want to destroy a nation, there's the formula. Okay, because there were generations before us that did not have that philosophy. And John F. Kennedy, I quote him in perhaps his most famous speech where he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And you know what? We would have considered him in his day a liberal politician. I mean, for those of you that lived back then, okay? He wasn't the conservative choice. And yet even a liberal politician back in those days understood this idea of civic duty and civic responsibility. And so if I'm a good American, I'm not focused on my rights. By the way, perhaps, you know, they always talk about wanting to amend our Constitution now or change it. Well, if we're going to amend our Constitution, maybe instead of adding more to the Bill of Rights, we should just pass a whole new section called the Bill of Responsibility. Because if you're going to talk only about your rights and never, never step up to the plate and fulfill your responsibilities, then, excuse me, you're not a good American and you're not a good Christian. Be very careful, folks, that the same attitude doesn't come into your life when it comes to your local assembly. For many years, Christians that joined a church and became a member of that church, I mean, you know what? If you go into their constitution, you can go and take a look at ours now. You know what? Before they join, they go through and there's a list of responsibilities that if you're going to be a member here, you ought to be willing to step up and do. You know, I'm not just saying this because we happen to have a work day this week, but there used to be a time at Blessed Hope Baptist Church you have a work day. I mean, unless people were sick or an invalid and couldn't come, and some of them probably that shouldn't have been there, it wasn't like everybody thought it was 10% or 15% or 20% of the responsibility of the congregation to show up. I mean, I can remember many, 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 and not that many years ago, where if we had a work day, we would have 60, 70, 80 people show up. And you know how much you can get done in 4 hours if you have 80 people that are willing to roll up their sleeves and go to work? Now, again, is it just automatically in your mind, well, yeah, they're going to have that, but that's for those people. That's for those members. And if you're not careful, that may seem like a very small thing. But if you start coming into church with the idea of I'm here to be served instead of I'm here to serve, then you don't have a Bible view of what Christianity is all about. Why did you read the 100th Psalm? Well, verse number 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. And we've got to get back that servant's heart. Because if we're not careful, again, one of the results of selfishness is to begin to walk into every situation. You know, I want my rights. What am I owed? What should people be doing for me? And that has poisoned the heart of many a church member until they come to the point of bitterness and quit on their church because they just don't think their church does enough for them. My goodness sakes, how in the world did you get that far down that road? Okay? I mean, what we ought to do is maybe have a change of heart about that. I'm going to quickly move on from this, but folks, I mean, a whole message we could preach on this. Rights versus responsibility will destroy every single human relationship you're involved in. If you let this poison get in you, you know what causes people to have marital problems? Okay, either the wife and the husband, and sometimes, and most of the time, both of them, they begin to view that relationship and they see it as what that other person is supposed to be doing for me instead of what I'm supposed to be doing for them. They're more focused on their perceived rights than their biblical responsibilities. Now, gentlemen, we can go in the Bible and it's not a hard study, but we can come up with a list of our biblical responsibilities as a husband. Are they there?
Yes.
All right. So as a husband, I can go in the Bible and I can come up with a list of biblical responsibilities that you have as a wife to your husband. Now, if I want to, I can grab the wife list and I can spend all my time walking around waving it and talking about it and focused on it. But you know what? If I do that, I'm going to hurt my marriage.
Right.
I'm going to hurt my marriage. Okay, so are in your marriage, answer the honest question. Are you more focused on what you think that other partner owes you, or are you more focused on fulfilling the God-given responsibilities that you have to them? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the best marriages in the world, best marriages in this church is when a man is 100% focused on his responsibilities to his wife, and the wife is focused 100% on her responsibilities to her husband. And you know what? That's what they are focused on. And watch those people that do that. Well, preacher, I mean, I'm just supposed to forget about me? No, it's worse than that. You're supposed to kill you.
Yep.
In a society where people are falling in love with themselves and demanding everything be about them, the Bible still says you're supposed to die daily. And it's amazing when you die, come on, you die, then how easy it is just to focus the attention in the right place. But I don't care what it is. It could be husband and wife. It could be an employer-employee relationship. I mean, next thing you know, every time you go to work, you're all focused on what that boss ought to be doing for you and what he's not doing for you and how much more you ought to be getting paid and how little appreciation you get. And you're just going to be a bitter employee. But if you go to work every day saying, you know what, I have some biblical responsibilities as an employee. And my biblical responsibility isn't try to boss my boss.
Right.
My responsibility is to go to him and say, what do you need me to do? And how do you want me to do it? And then roll up your sleeves and go to work. It just makes life easier. All right, number two, a good American appreciates those who have sacrificed to provide the freedoms he enjoys. And so let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I already began to quote it, but let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I want you to take a look at this list of sins that is listed as last day sins that produce what the Bible calls perilous times as a result of these sins coming into the hearts of people and even into the hearts of the world. I did hear an evangelist one time say this when he was talking about this. He said, this list that's given here, if you look into the world to a certain extent, these sins have always been into the world. But Paul is writing to Timothy, young preacher, and I believe that the perilous times is because Christians begin to adopt these sins. And you see that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I contend, by the way, that that's listed first on purpose. I'll take it a step further. I believe every other sin on that list is a result of that first sin. Because if you get off in that area, all these other things just become a natural flow. But notice this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And I think that next one, folks, we can so read over it and act like it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal. Unthankful. Well, what does July 4th do? Why do we have these type of special holidays built into our national schedule? Why do we have a Memorial Day? Why do we have a Veterans Day? Now, folks, I think every day we ought to be thankful for the things that we've received as Americans. But I'm sure glad that there are times where it's just on the calendar. It just helps me to just kind of tap the brakes a little bit. We've got a project going on that I think a lot of families, I haven't checked, but I think that there's a number of families that have signed up to be involved in, and they're just adopting a cemetery and saying, you know what, I'm going to take 20, 30 flags, watch this, parents, and I'm going to take my kids with me, and we're going to go to this cemetery, and we're just going to wander up and down and find the gravestones that have clearly marked that that person served in the armed forces, and we're just going to place American flag beside them. And you know what? We're going to take a moment as a family and just say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this person. Don't know them, maybe not even know the family. But thank God that they were willing to offer their lives to serve our nation, protect our nation. And I think that's a great event. We still have plenty of places to sign up if you want to get involved in this. But folks, patriotism isn't passed down through osmosis. And if we're going to raise children that have a heart full of patriotism, then we're going to have to do some things that put that into their heart. And I love the idea of our children having as part of their memory of growing up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that pastor provided a bunch of flags and we got to go out to a cemetery and we raced all over that place. And hey, Mom, I think this is one over here. And I think I found one over here. And somebody told me, and I looked it up, and it's legit. But children, if you'd like to, take a pocket full of pennies with you, because there's kind of a tradition that if you have visited the grave of somebody who has served our nation, you leave a penny on top of it. When the family members come, they'll know somebody came by and just stopped and appreciated their family service. And why do this? To get the kids involved, that let them have a memory, to let them put a flag somewhere, to have a moment where dad and mom maybe stands there and explains, hey, this person lived from here to here. And by the way, in that window, they served from here to here. And in that window, this was going on in our country. And maybe it was wartime and maybe it wasn't, but they were willing. They offered themselves up. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't trash a nation and don't disrespect a nation. Don't respect the memory of those that have made it possible for you to enjoy what you enjoy. And I know we went through a horrific time there in 2020 and around that time where all of a sudden this woke agenda began to take over, and it became very popular in America to disrespect the flag and kneel during the national anthem and all kinds of nonsense. And folks, listen to me, that crowd's still out there and they're not done yet. So we have to double down in making sure we teach our young people the right things, because there's a lot of people out there that like to teach them the wrong things. And so take the time to show appreciation. Number three, a good American works hard. Amen. Works hard, pays his taxes, and contributes to the financial stability of the nation. Did you get that? A good American works hard, pays his taxes, and contributes to the financial stability of his nation. Now, folks, listen, the Bible still speaks very clearly on this subject. I mean, more clearly than the world wants to hear. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Work with your own hands, do your own business. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from, let's think about this, ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And one of the things that a church attracts, by the way, I'm not talking about people that cannot work, I'm talking about people that will not work. Okay, I think each and every one of us as Christians would be more than willing, first in line, to help somebody if they could not work. But there's a difference between cannot working and will not work. And the Bible calls them disorderly brothers. He said that we're to withdraw ourselves from them. But a lot of times the church becomes a little bit of a magnet for people that really don't want to go to work every day, but they want to mooch off people that do go to work every day.
Yep.
And you know what? They don't like it when we quote verses. Well, surely God's not that mean and God's not that callous, and the Bible can't really say that. Yes, it does. The Bible says that if you are not willing to work, you should not eat. Now, you know, mama government, daddy government wants to go in and rescue people that won't work and make sure they got a check. And by the way, make sure that they have better medical benefits than those of us that are working. But I noticed this, that once I came up with a list of questions that I keep there handy by the phone. And I noticed this, once I began to ask these questions to people who were calling in wanting for us, come on, our church to pay their bills and to buy them groceries. I noticed that when word got out that they were going to have to answer these questions, I sure don't get as many calls as I used to. Now, I get more criticism from the community over it. And there's some people that have gone on Facebook, some churches in the area that have a food bank, and they've criticized, I mean, by name, our church, because we don't give away free food once a week. And I want to say to them, are you vetting these people?
Right.
Are you vetting them?
Yes.
Well, no, we just feed them. Well, are you disobeying the Bible? Are you giving them a hand up or a hand out? Okay. Are you really helping them, or are you just enabling them? Because if they can go to work, they should go to work. Okay. And they got to eat their own bread. Now watch this. How's this fit into being a good citizen? Well, folks, listen to me. You know, we as Americans, you know, we go to work and then we pay taxes. And part of the taxes go to supply. By the way, I just talked about an appreciation for our military. I'm glad some of my taxes come to make sure that those men and women are well taken care of. They should not be living in poverty level. And I'm more than happy for some of my taxes to go to help people who cannot work, not do not work, or will not work. But, you know, as a voting American, if you're going to squander my money, then I want to vote you out of office. Okay, because we also have a right as taxpaying Americans to go to the voting booth and make sure that our monies are being handled responsibly. And I don't know about you, but folks, I mean, you know, that started with Doge and all of these different investigations and story after story after story of millions and even billions of taxpayer money being taken here and squandered here, and it's unaccounted for here. And folks, I used to criticize third world countries because of the level of corruption in our government. We've reached that status. And I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm not sure anybody knows what the answer is, because it's a monstrosity right now. But I want to say this at the end of the day. You know what? You can't go to the Bible and prove that Jesus was against paying taxes, because he wasn't. And he paid them himself. And so it's the right thing to do, to go to work. And to pay taxes, and listen, to contribute to the financial stability of a nation, instead of being, come on, like many Americans are, they're nothing more than leeches that are contributing to the financial instability of a nation. And so by divine inspiration, Paul pens the words of God, God's viewpoint on this matter of laziness. In God's view, if you do not work, you should not eat, period. Not only that, God sees you as disorderly, that means unruly, and declares you a busybody. God also commands good brethren to withdraw from your company. This shunning is done in hopes of shaming you into correcting your laziness. You know, I was talking to a guy just recently, and I even wrote a little bit about this in a book that I wrote, but you know, one of the things that young men will attest to at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is this. If you're going to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you don't have a job, you're going to be challenged by men around you.
Right.
And it's the right thing to do. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But I believe that this has traditionally been true at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The older men in our church hold our young men to account. Where are you working? Well, what do you mean you're not working? Okay, you putting in applications? How many did you put in this week? Well, I don't want to make this place a comfortable place for lazy people. When somebody comes, come on, young men, pokes and prods you a little bit when it comes to your work ethic, they're doing you a favor. Yes. Okay, and so don't shirk work, okay? If you do that, you're going to gain a shameful reputation amongst real men. They're not going to have respect for you. Amen. Work is the proving ground of manhood. It provides its own reward. A man who enthusiastically embraces a job can rejoice both in the work and after the work, for he will experience the joy of true biblical masculinity. It's a wonderful thing for a man to, on a regular basis, put the effort in, pay his bills, take care of his wife, take care of his children, and do it on his own labor. That's a blessing. And by the way, it has a built-in reward. It has a built-in reward, all right? But I want to say this quickly, folks. Our tax money, I'm for paying tax, should not be used to kill unborn babies.
Right.
Should not be used to pay for transgender transitional surgeries.
Yes.
It shouldn't be used to pay people not to work. Or pay people who will not work. It should not be used to bribe godless anti-American nations to behave themselves. It should not be used to kill American jobs. It should not be, tax money should not be used to provide educational material that promotes the sodomite lifestyle to the children enrolled in our public schools. Our tax money should not be used to promote the religion of humanism in our public education institutions. Our tax money should not be used to undermine our Constitution or to propagate fear as a means to control the American people and limit their freedoms. I mean, listen, folks, voting is important. Voting the right people in is important. We need to hold people to account. We need to hold people to account. Number four. All right, we're doing pretty good here. Number four. A good American understands that the biblical family is the building block of a stable civilization. A good American understands that the biblical family is the building block of a stable civilization. You know, folks, the Bible is very plain when it talks about the sin of sodomy, the sin of homosexuality. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God is very, very hard on any sin that eats away or destroys the American family, the biblical family. God's tough on that. Ephesians 5:22, God not only sets up the biblical family as a husband and a wife married till death do them part, and being blessed with children as God sees fit. But he has an order of marriage. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Sometimes we have the right elements of a biblical marriage, but we got them out of order. Next thing you know, you've got a woman that's ruling the husband instead of the husband that is over the wife. And next thing you know, we have children. Come on, there's too many children that are running the households of America.
Yep.
And listen, it's not just a matter of getting the right pieces in place. It's a matter of it making sure that we're following the biblical instruction for each of those parts of the family. And folks, let me just take a second and just promote the idea of children. Amen. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now think about this. Any lifestyle that contributes to the demise of the biblical family is not only anti-God, it is anti-American.
Yes.
If you destroy the concept of the biblical family unit, you will destroy a nation. It is anti-American, unpatriotic to treat sexual perversions as normal. And so let's be very careful about that. And folks, listen to me. This is a growing sin. And I don't imagine there's probably anybody in this church that does not have that as somewhere in a part of their extended family. And you know what? You can love your family and still hate the sin that God hates. And it is not proof of your love to your family for you to tolerate or even okay that sin. And so it's not a matter of choosing not choosing to love your family, but we still cannot go soft on these things here. Let me finish up by number five. A good American lives a life that allows the blessing of God to be poured out upon his nation. The Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation. And so if you want to exalt your nation, then live a righteous life. But the Bible goes on to say sin is a reproach to every people. And so if you want to undermine and destroy your nation, then make excuses for sin and just live a foolish and carnal life. And you are not only a horrible Christian, you're a horrible American. But think about this. Righteousness exalts the nation. That means every time I have an opportunity to choose right, I have an opportunity to exalt my nation. Every time I have a choice between right and wrong, and I choose right. Every time, young person, you have a choice between right and wrong, and you choose right. You know what you do? You uplift your nation. You give God more reasons to bless your nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is my people. This was God talking to his chosen people. And yet, you know what? God's chosen people, the Israelites, a lot of times got involved in wickedness. And you know what? We may be the children of God, the sons of God. We may be born again and saved, but that don't mean that sin can't creep into our lives. And as I think admonished us on Sunday, folks, let's take the month of July and just say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because I believe, folks, listen to me, that there must be and needs to be a remnant that still is willing and wanting to live a holy life before the Lord. And the more Americans that are willing to do that, the more we have a chance to see our nation exalted instead of brought to ruin. And so let's spend some time in this month doing some self-examination. Proverbs chapter 30, are we there? There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that we would do as the Bible says, be willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. And Lord, as we seek your face, it's amazing when we get in the presence of God, the closer we get to God, the closer we get to the light of your holiness, the more evident it becomes, Lord, of our own sinfulness. And I pray, Lord, as you point out things in each of our lives that we need to address, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to spend this month, yes, in emphasizing prayer and emphasizing patriotism, but Lord, also as we pray for our country, dear God, that you'd help us to do some self-examination. I wouldn't want something in my life that would be standing between the opportunity for us to see revival in America, to stand in front of that, to stand and prevent that. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, just be very aware of your Holy Spirit's voice in our life and his admonition and conviction. Lord, as you bring it to each of us, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's all